The Lord be with you. The question most people are asked during Lent is, what are you not eating? And many of us, as children, were taught that Lent is this 40-day period where we fast like Jesus fasted. And what that means is that we don't eat chocolate, or we don't eat candy, or we don't eat meat, and maybe instead we do eat fish. And to say, I'm here to tell you that now that you're adults, I can finally say that what Lent is actually about is what you don't eat. Because the devil's really interested in what you do eat. The devil's really interested in what you eat from the Old Testament to the New. In the Old Testament, it might be fruit, and in the New, it might be bread, but the devil wants you to eat stuff. And it's less about the stuff, and it's more about ruining your appetite for the promises of God. You see, before the serpent tempts anyone to eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, first in Genesis 1, God makes everything in the universe. God makes light, God makes the earth, God makes animals and plants and humans, and after each and every single thing that God makes, the scriptures say God saw it and saw that it was good. God says that everything God has created is good, and then God puts humans in the garden and says, okay, there is in this garden the ability to choose for yourself what is good and what is evil. There is the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. God says, don't eat that. But a serpent comes along and says, well, why don't you try it for yourself? Because then you'll get to be like God, and you can decide what's good and what's evil. The problem is, God has already said everything is good. And so when humans start to decide for themselves what is good and what is evil, as soon as they start to decide, they go against God. And the first thing that they decide that they themselves are evil, that their bodies that God has made is evil. They say, oh no, we're naked, we better hide ourselves. But God had made those bodies, and God had declared them good, and God had put them in the garden naked. But they want to decide for themselves what's good and what's evil. So the first thing they decide to be evil is themselves, and they hide from God. And when God says, why are you hiding from me? Oh, no. Did you eat of that fruit I told you not to? Did you start to decide for yourself what is good and what is evil after I said everything's good? Adam's response is delightful. Adam's response is to say, it's not my fault, God. It's the woman. The woman, she made me eat. Also, God, the woman that you gave me, so let's talk about who's really at fault. Not me. To which the woman responds, don't blame me, it was the serpent. The serpent made me do it. To say instantly, as soon as they start to choose for themselves what is good for and what is evil, they declare themselves evil, and to make themselves feel better, they decide that everyone else is worse. And in that moment, paradise is lost. In that moment, they are living in hell because they are trying to hide from God and fight with each other. And in that moment, God says, they can't stay here. They can't stay here because if they stay here, they'll eat of the fruit of life and they will live forever in this living hell. And so God sends them out of the garden so that they might die to the life that they have, so that someday they might rise to a new life in Jesus. But of course, when Jesus begins his ministry and he is baptized, and once again, he hears a promise, a good word from God, you are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased. The devil comes along the very next thing and says, oh, okay, God says you're his son, but if you're really the son of God, well, then you could turn this stone into a loaf of bread. So why not do it and find out if it's true that you're really God's son? Find out if God's promises hold. And when Jesus refuses, the devil says, okay, I'm going to take you up to the highest building. And he says, you know, Jesus, you like God's word so much. Well, there's a part in scripture that says God will send his angels to watch over you so that you don't dash your foot against the stone. So Jesus, why don't you throw yourself off this building and see if God's word holds true? If you're the son of God, won't he send his angels to watch over you? Find out for yourself. And then, of course, the devil says, all right, you know what? Maybe it's not even that great to be the son of God. What's that get you? But the devil says, if you fall down and worship me, I will give you power over all the kingdoms of the world. That's way better, right? Now, you see, it's not about the fruit, and it's not about a loaf of bread. It's about the promises that God wants to fill us with, and the devil's saying, why don't I fill you with something else instead? Why don't I fill you with the fruit of judgment? Why don't I fill you with the bread of anxiety? And to say, the devil didn't just do this once long ago. The devil does this for us every single day. Every day the devil says, why don't you pick for yourself that fruit of judgment of what is good and what is evil? And every time we pick it, the first thing the devil wants us to judge is ourselves. And so the devil invites us to pick it every time we watch a commercial that says, you know, you're not going to be loved unless you look younger. So buy our product. The devil tempts us every time we go and we hang out with friends who make us feel like maybe we're not quite good enough to hang out with them. But the devil says, but no one else cares about you. The devil invites us to eat of that fruit when we find ourselves scrolling through Facebook and saying, wow, everyone else's life is better than mine. Some of us even do that with an apple. Oh, all right, never mind. All right. But to say the devil also invites us to eat of the bread of anxiety. The bread of anxiety that's a temptation to try to prove that we really are loved. That bread of anxiety we're tempted to eat every time we agree to do something that we don't want to, just in hopes that it will make someone like us. Or we put on a face and pretend to be someone they're not, that we are not, so that we will better fit in. Or when we find ourselves working to earn that extra dollar that we don't really need, but maybe it'll make us buy something and feel special, and we choose that over spending time with the people that we love. This is the bread that the devil wants us to eat. This is the fruit that the devil tempts us with. But when Jesus is tempted with this same bread, he says, no. For one does not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus knows that what gives us life is God's word that was spoken in the very beginning, that you are good, God's word spoken in the waters of baptism. You are God's child whom God loves. With you, God is well pleased. God's word that you are made in the image of God, that God knit you together in your mother's womb, and that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. But of all these good words, the greatest word is that of Jesus. Because Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God made flesh to dwell among us. And in Romans chapter 5, Paul explains the power of the Word that is Jesus. Paul says, there was once a man named Adam, and through that one man, all of sin and death came into this world for all people. And then Paul says, but now there is a new man, a new type of Adam who is Jesus. And just as sin and death came into the world through one man, so too justification and life comes into the world through one man. And in Romans 5:18, Paul even says, just as through one man's disobedience all were condemned, so too through one man's act of righteousness, all are given justification and life. Now, when you hear that, the devil will try to come up to you and say, when the scriptures say that through one man, Jesus, all receive justification and life, doesn't really mean all. It's sort of like an all some people, right? Probably not you. Definitely not your neighbor who plays music late at night. But when the devil tempts you with that idea, you can respond to the devil and say, well, it says all, and it says that sin and death came into the world to all through one man. So is there anyone to whom sin and death didn't come to? No, it means all, for all of us are going to die. And so too, when it says in Christ all of us receive justification and life, it means all. This is the good word of Jesus. That God's love and life is for you, no matter what the devil says. And because of that, Jesus wants to feed you. feed you not with the empty promises of the devil, but with the promises of God that have been fulfilled in him. And so Jesus takes bread. Bread not like the devil offers, bread that you have to make to prove that you are God's beloved child. But Jesus takes bread to say, "This is my body, and I give it to you freely as a gift, as proof that you already are God's beloved child, that what the words God spoke about you in the beginning still hold true." And when the devil comes to you and says, "Let me offer you a fruit of judgment to decide who's good and who's evil, starting with yourself," Jesus says, "No, I offer you a different fruit, the fruit of my veins." And Jesus says, "The fruit of my veins I crush and pour out, so that from this nectar you may receive forgiveness of sins, so that you may no longer hide from your God, so that you may no longer fight with each other, but you may live in openness, confessing when you have done wrong and trusting that God will still welcome you into paradise." And so this Lent, I invite you to fast and to feast. On this table, we will spend each Sunday in Lent talking about the various things with which God nourishes us, fills us with those promises from God that give us strength for each and every day. But then I invite you to fast. I invite you to fast from the bread of anxiety and from the fruit of judgment, from all the temptations of the devil that make you doubt the promises of God. And I invite you to feast. I invite you to feast on the bread of heaven, on the cup of salvation. I invite you to feast on those friends who let you know that you are loved, on those places where you feel at peace and God's presence. I invite you to feast on every word that comes from the mouth of God, the greatest of which is Jesus. Amen.